B-Pod Studios.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Trey Thomas, Mark Farzetta, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson, Andrew Salchunas, and in studio with us right now, ladies and gentlemen, so excited, the great Frank Caliendo. Frank, welcome in, my man.
You guys are way more excited than I am.
At least you are.
At least you're faking it.
No. This is how I am.
Oh, yeah?
I swear to you. Don't you know
you're in Philly? I didn't expect this. You've smiled twice. What's going on?
I'm a happy person.
I know people get that. I shouldn't do that because now all the listeners are going to be like, we're not like that. And they'll tweet at me what a jerk I am.
Right.
Like, no, you're proving the point. Whatever.
Where are you performing again? Dover Downs?
Dover Downs tonight. If you want to make the trek out there. And then back in February, I'll be at Parks Casino. And if you're up, was it to the north from here? Where's Atlantic City?
Atlantic City is to the east.
I'm not good with geometry. I don't know which voice to do that in, Terry Bradshaw. I'm not good with geometry. I was on The Masked Singer.
No, yeah.
I didn't even say, I just heard about that. I don't even understand The Masked Singer. It's like Bane in... Right?
Hello, Batman. I'm going to sing now.
That makes sense. There's no way they're actually singing in those masks.
Yeah, I don't think they are.
There's a little great, but... So basically, it's the masked dancer. The masked costume dancer.
Okay.
That's what
I like it.
Antonio Brown was week one elephant or something.
Yeah, he was the elephant.
Was he really?
Yeah, Antonio Brown.
I think it ticked off some of his teammates.
Yeah. Maybe might have hurt a little bit.
This is good. We're all learning today.
Yeah, you got to pay more attention to the Masked Singer and less about your job.
You're right. I apologize.
Although that there's some crossover there with sports and goofy entertainment that everybody should be embarrassed they love.
Totally. 100%. Now, when you come into the Philly area, is there any difference? You seem to know the people here. When it comes to a Philly audience, what's a Philly audience like?
No, I mean, it's not really. It's just East Coast audience. I think the East Coast audience is a little different. I push stuff out a little faster. There's not really a... I don't want to say it as a negative thing because it's just push it. It's like kind of a fighter's mentality. I'm not going to go Rocky here, but it is kind of that. It's like that in New York. It's like that in New Jersey. Everywhere out on this side of the country, because I grew up in the Midwest and everything's like, okay. And then you go to the South, like, we'll get to it. It's that kind of a thing. You go out West, like, we've seen it. I'm like, I haven't done it yet. We know what it is. So. That's the crazy. Like, I got friends doing sports radio in California. Mm-hmm. You guys wouldn't understand because nobody really cares. Football's on at 9 in the morning or something. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, yeah. Football pregame shows around that time. It's 10 a.m. It's a weird. It's just different. It's totally different.
Can I ask you something about you people?
No.
I got to ask you this. The Midwest.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so nice. I never know if I...
So nice until you go to the South, and then you realize not nice at all. Oh. It's nice. It's nice.
But it's like, is it a shallow nice, or is it a legit, genuine nice?
No, I think that's real. I think people are gradually happy that you come to their city. Like, I do a bunch of shows in Iowa, and they're like, oh, thank you for coming here. We really appreciate it. But you go, like, New York or Philly, you're like, you should be here. What are you talking about? Why weren't you here earlier? It's like in New England. The way they are in New England now, it's like... That's totally crazy because that's 10 times 10. That you go to Chicago and they're like, hey, Bears, 85 Super Bowl. Unbelievable. Huh? They're still reliving Michael Jordan, three-peat. Which, like, you wouldn't believe it. You go to New England, we haven't won a Super Bowl for a year. It's been a full year since we won one. Well, you're lucky, all right? It's not like that everywhere.
Were they the first voices you did, voices like the accents? Were they the first voice? What was the first voice you did?
The first voices I did were Saturday Night Live. And in Living Color. I would watch everything that Damon Wayans would do and go, you guys remember those? Like,
sure.
The Ubiquities and Contemplations.
Yes.
Oswald Bates, who was in the prison cell.
Totally. Yeah.
I love that.
Conspiracy.
So, yeah. Conspiracy personified. But I digress. It was that stuff in the Wayans world and those kind of characters. That
Homie
was the
Clown.
Yeah. Yeah. Homie the Clown, don't mess around. Even though the man try to keep him down. But to me, that was brilliant stuff. And still, I mean, still is. I mean, you look at where culture is today, and I don't know if you could do in Living Color. I mean,
no.
But the concepts were like, so edgy and so different. And it, like, as a kid, like, as a white kid growing up in suburban Wisconsin, or, you know, suburban Milwaukee, going, that was, like, part of my introduction to there's other people with other cultures and there's different life experiences and stuff. So I learned a lot at that point, but that's what I think comedy can do.
And then sports came in where? You just
sports. My dad was a minor league baseball player in the White Sox organization before I was born. So we grew up playing baseball, football, basketball. And I got injured running back. Got the Al Bundy story.
Yeah, sure.
I was this size. I haven't grown since I was a freshman. And I look at stuff and you look at athletes now and you go, at that time I thought, oh, I'm pretty fast. And I'm like, no, not fast. Like, I legitimately ran a 4.240. And I look at all you guys. Like, I was timing it myself as I ran. But I was a decent athlete, all region kind of baseball player and stuff like that, but not a good enough arm. I could hit a little bit, but that's really all it was. But I just got in. I was, as a catcher, I would be behind the plate just, you know, talking to umpires, talking to hitters and stuff like that. That was right. I worked for a guy named Mike Hegan at an indoor baseball softball place. He played with the A's, was the play-by-play guy or the color analyst for the Indians for a while. I worked with that and was around some Craig Council. My brother used to throw batting practice.
Oh my
Craig
God.
Council every day, not every day, but like every.
Did
couple
he have
of
that
weeks.
Weird batting stance even
yeah,
then?
Yeah, always. And everybody made fun of Craig Council's a guy I use is like an example for people. Everybody said Craig's not going anywhere. People, all the minor league players that would get drafted higher than him and walking around, like they're like he's working so hard, it's never going to happen. And then it happened, and everybody's like, okay, so hard work really can't. I mean, he had some tools, mm-hmm. but he developed tools to a level that nobody even thought possible at that time. And I look at it like this too: when we were kids, I don't know how old you guys are. I turn 45 tomorrow.
And you got a few on me.
Yeah, when we played sports as kids, we practiced. We'd go to practice, and now you train. Mm-hmm. And kids start training 8, 10 years
wow.
old if they can.
That's a great point.
And I think part of the problem with the NFL and any sport now, the NFL especially, you've trained bodies to get so fast, so powerful, that you can't train your bones, ligaments, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. You can only train the muscle, right? So I don't know how much everything can keep up with that. At a certain point, that's why we're getting, I believe, so many injuries, is because the human being, I don't know, was supposed to get this far this fast.
Yeah, I'm 36, and I remember like that was kind of just starting. I feel like when I was little, right. like I feel like you could play a bunch of sports until like eighth grade, and right. then you had to pick one,
yeah.
and then you had to train all year round for that one sport. That's how I remember it going. And now kids get a seventh grader is getting a scholarship to or an offer to Michigan.
Well, I have a friend. He got three scholarship offers. His son got three scholarship offers. Eighth grade, seventh grade year in Arizona because he's a 6'10" freshman this year. He's actually 6'11".
Wow!
And he shoots threes, mm-hmm. and he's he looks like a praying mantis. Uh-huh. he's legit, yeah. Size 19 shoes, 7'2" wingspan. His name's Dylan Anderson. USA Today already did.
Wow.
A preview on him, but it's ridiculous. I mean, he looks like a Dirk Nowitzki type. He looks like a European basketball player, but he's got all the tools. He's only been playing basketball for 2 years. He wanted to play football. His dad, he was playing I-9 sports. His dad ran.
Snap him in half.
That's what I said. I go, they're going to tackle you at your knees.
Yeah.
And that's because that's everybody else's waist.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Frank Caliendo, he's going to be performing at Dover Downs tonight. Check him out. And then you're going to be at Parks Casino
In mid-February and Atlantic City at Ocean. It's Ocean? I think it's singular. I should have looked it up. Frank on stage. I had never been there before, so that's the first time I'm going to be there. FrankOnStage.com brings you to all that. It even gives you. I started doing some podcasts, too, that not sports, so we're not in competition yet.
Yeah, right.
And it's Ocean, not plural.
But yeah, I thought it was singular because if it was plural,
it sounds like it should be Oceans,
yeah,
but it's Ocean. It's,
yeah, like, and the movie is Ocean 11. No, Ocean.
And then so obviously you break onto the scene.
Breaking onto the scene is the way it is. Slowly chip my way.
Okay.
That's the way it seems to have worked for me. The Madden thing, I came on, Kimmel was doing the pregame stuff at Fox at the time.
Yeah.
So Jimmy was doing that, and he wanted somebody to do a John Madden. And the story goes, legend has it, that he had a guy who did John Madden, and then his producer, Jimmy Brusca, had a guy who had a guy who did John Madden. And it turned out I was the same guy. So they both knew of me. They're like, we're going to use my guy. No, we're going to use my guy. And I was the guy. So I came on, did Madden for president, which at the time seemed like that could something like that could never happen.
Right.
And then he took a pair of hedge clippers to the eyebrows, and apparently Madden was watching going, hey, you know, I'm not real thrilled about this. What's going on? And the next day, next week, he came in with eyebrows clipped and, and very, you know, clean cut.
Now, John Gruden becoming a head coach again helps.
He was having man.
Does that help Frank Caliendo, or does it hurt Frank Caliendo?
Well, I'm doing the impressions. If you notice, and I used to come in and just do impression after impression impression. Yeah. And I'm trying to integrate that both ways, where I do the impressions when it's called for and not overdo it at the same time, so people get to know a piece of me as well. And that's what kind of the podcasts are part of that too. But the Gruden thing, I think, helps in terms of he's everywhere now. He's not just at ESPN. When he was just at ESPN, no other network wanted to talk about him, really, so because that was their guy. Now it's free. They brought me in to talk. I came in before a game. It was the Arizona Cardinals. And he's like, I get a text from one of the guys there. He's like, do you want to talk to the team? I'm like, yeah, I guess I could. I'll try it. And he's like, we'll do some Gruden to do some other stuff. I come in, I start doing the Gruden. I'm like, I said, does he swear when he's doing this stuff? And they're like, no, I don't think he swears very much. I listen to his pregame speech. It's this man, we're doing this, this, you know, trying to get everybody riled up. And then I come in and I start doing the same stuff, man. And I was doing it and it's just killing. The guys are going crazy. I'm looking over at Gruden. He's like, you're turning red over there, man. Derek Carr, I love you with your little binder, man. You're doing a great job taking notes. I bet every quarterback in the league does this except for Tom Brady. He's probably got a guy who does it for him, man. I tell you what, and Gruden's like, tries to do somebody else. I'm like, no, you brought me in. I'm going to do this the whole time. So then I did some Stephen A. Smith and Barkley and stuff like that, and I did a little Mel Kiper. Guys never like Mel Kiper because get graded as you're on your way out of college. Might have cost you a couple $100,000 a year coming into the league because things I said coming out of my dungeon. Tremendous situation. So it was just a blast. And then they won the game. And, you know, it's the three quarters of the way through the season. Then they're inviting me to every game. I'm like, it can't come to every
Right.
But I got a game ball. So I never thought I would ever get an NFL game ball. And I talked to Derek afterward, who I'd met before when I did the Gruden camp and stuff like that. And he was like, you really pumped us up. He's like, that was great. I'm like, well, yeah, they can start paying me. I'm 1-0 in live performances for you guys.
Frank Caliendo, great talking to you. Great meeting you. We've never met before.
Yeah,
we crossed paths once or twice, but never officially met. And appreciate you coming in. And
sure.
Dover Downs tonight. Make sure you check out Frank Caliendo. How do we look you up?
FrankOnStage.com has all the information for the for the day tonight, which is Dover Downs, and then next week will be, or not next week, in February is going to be Parks Casino. I think it's mid-February. If somebody pulls up frankonstage.com, I probably could have done it. I have a phone. What an idiot.
You're doing
it's
great.
It's like when somebody says, do you need a map? No, I have a phone.
Anybody got a computer? You have a phone, Frank.
Thanks. And it's Dover Downs at Ocean Casino.
Ocean Resort Casino, February 23rd.
Yeah, out in Atlantic City. So that must be 22nd, 23rd, is that what it is?
Yes, sir.
In February. Frank on stage will come. And the information on the podcast is on there, too, or frankpods.com. And there's a couple of, one of them's like a nerdy kind of thing, comic book deal. That, yeah, I went to this thing called Ace Con this weekend. And I just got the nod, we're going to break. I met Tom Hiddleston, Loki. From the
God.
Oh, yeah. And my daughter, it was the greatest. It was unbelievable.
Oh, I'm sure she freaked out.
So we're doing this kind of movie and type of podcast as well. And the other one I'm doing with Al Jackson, who's just a brilliant, brilliant guy. It's more like, it's almost like it's, and I know people, it's not about politics and this, but it's not, it's a non-political, almost political discussion where where people just try and understand each other. And Al was the guy who went viral on the Daily Blast Live talking about the national anthem and veterans.
Ooh, okay.
If you ever saw that.
Yeah.
And it's all about listening to everybody else and pretty cool thing. We get into sports and
mix that in.
No, but you know, because sports is very important culturally.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Frank Caliendo, thanks so much. Great meeting you, man. Good luck to you. And, you know, I'm sure people will be checking you out.
I'll tell you what, Dover, man. It's going to be fun.
As always, Tommy the Fanatic, 946.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.